It is story time, and welcome to another episode of
Santori Stories
with the Santoris. I'm your host with the most. I really hate when people say that.
Then don't. Why did you say it?
Because I love when I hate things. I love to hate things. Misery loves company. Steven Seagal, and I'm with Britney Spears here, and
I wish. I'm very upset.
Why are you upset?
That her show is not sold happening anymore. Not that it's not happening.
Oh, it's not?
Canceled. It's like it's over.
Oh,
not. I don't think it's canceled, but it's over. It's officially done.
Maybe she's just on like a vacay.
I'm upset.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know what she's talking about, we're going to the Grand Canyon in about a week and a half or so, and we're going to go see Britney Spears, and the show just is not happening. So we're not going to see Britney Spears.
I bought that sweatshirt. I'm still going to wear it.
That's fine. You can wear it in the desert when it's 115 degrees outside.
It gets cold at night.
Okay.
It does.
All right. I believe you.
It does.
No, it does. All right. So I'm actually going to tell a story today.
Okay. This is your story today.
This is about, well, Father's Day is coming up, of course.
Yes.
And I think most of us have dads. We may not know them, but, right?
We all got here somehow.
Somehow. Immaculate conception? I think that still requires a dad. So we all have dads. That's proof. But first, I want to share a story that I wrote the 9th of September, 2011. I was in English Honors 2, so I would have been sophomore year. Yeah.
What does this have to do with Father's Day?
We'll get to that.
Because I know what this story is. And I don't think it's related to Father's Day at all.
That's fine. So I wrote this story again. Sophomore year, I was in English Honors 2. I don't know why I was in English Honors 2 other than I think.
Are you going to read it?
It was that choice. Oh, yeah, I am.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really not that long.
It just looks like it's long because
it's double spaced.
I know.
Yeah. Well, high school, man.
Yeah,
high
exactly.
This is barely a page.
All right. Okay.
All right, so the premise of the show, just to set it up here, the paper here was we had about 25 minutes in class, because we had long 65-minute periods or something like that, to put together a bucket list. And it was actually two bucket lists. It was one of a short term, sort of like a 1 year, and then a 5 year plan, I think it was. And then you kind of had to plan your paper. So I did the bucket list. And I'll quickly go over things on my bucket list. You can tell this is like 1 year plan. Get my permit, get a job, read 20 books, get straight A's, really simple stuff. Then I had my 5 year plan, which was go to college, move out. Funnily enough, college is number one, move out is number two. So go on a cruise.
Education, then live by yourself.
Which I did. Mm-hmm. Learn web design, what was already doing, and buy a car. I've done all of my five year plan.
Yeah.
In 5 years.
Less.
Or less, yeah. And then I had, I guess, I don't know, 10-year plan or total bucket list things, which was traveling the world, having kids, starting my own company, writing a book, skydiving, be on TV or in a movie, go to space, invent a new flavor. I started just naming Monopoly.
Get married on there?
No. Have kids is so.
But not get married.
I didn't want to get married, but I
he
didn't
want
to have
full-time
kids.
Commitment to a woman,
exactly.
But he didn't mind taking
now
care
see,
of children.
Now you see where Father's Day is coming
yeah,
into play.
Yeah, okay. Now I get it.
So, and then win lotto. So then there was that, then there was a planning sheet. And then you had to actually start writing your paper. And I wrote one sentence in that 25 minute period, then went home and then probably wrote this paper at about 11:30 at night.
When you do your best work.
When I do my best work, one draft.
When any high schooler does their best work.
Printed it out, didn't look at it again until I turned it in. So I'm very proud of this because I honestly didn't know what the paper was until the teacher read it to every class, including ones that weren't.
I got
5 out of 5, and she read it to every single class.
And your
class.
Teacher didn't like you.
No, she did not.
So for you to get a full score,
she was pleasantly
a big
surprised.
Deal.
Yeah. So here we go. And I chose the thing I chose for my bucket list, by the way, again, sorry, was to run a business. Of my
right.
own, start a business of my own. So, what do Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Donald Trump have in common? They're all filthy, stinking rich and have extremely successful companies. Everyone knows their names, and everyone wants to be just like them. Not only do they have tons of money, but they have a great influence in their fields, and with that is the secret ability to control people. While it may seem a bit devious, this is what I secretly crave. Sophomore year, I wrote this. I'm like
You've
an evil
sick,
genius.
You've been sadistic.
Yeah, a little bit. When I was little, my father ran a business from the basement of our house. Mm-hmm. Being the boss's son, I felt like I had the power to do as I pleased and would talk to other workers and clients, and making them do various remedial tasks when my father wasn't around. And while that power may have been short-lived and false, there's nothing quite as satisfying as getting a mortgage broker to make you lunch for no other reason than just pure laziness on my part. As I made my rounds through the office, they would grow to secretly hate me. But being untouchable, all they can do is suffer. Did I mention the large wealth that I can amass from running a successful company? The work in the beginning may push me to my limits as I get off the ground, but afterwards, it'll be all downhill from there. I can sit back and watch as my company grows beyond the competition's expectations and then dominate the markets. There's no job on the planet that lets you do so little, yet includes bossing people around and making 15 grand an hour. This is the part you're going to like here coming up. But I'm not completely evil. World domination is just one portion of my master plan, albeit a large part. I too would like a family, and as such, need to properly support them. No wife of mine, see, I did want to get married. No wife of mine
just
will be...
just wasn't on the list.
It was implied. I had other things, you know, I didn't want to take up a spot. No wife of mine will be lifting a well-polished and painted fingernail for anybody but me. And I shall entrust my children to take over my family business once I am no longer a part of the picture, but not a second sooner. This is by far the most important goal in my life. If anything was to become a problem, I would expect it to be something trivial, like not making enough money to fuel my solid gold rocket jet so rocket. I can get fresh tang in the mornings.
Tang. I love tang.
I expect to reach my goal by the age of 23, and after settling down comfortably, I should remain of this universe until the ripe old age of 101.
You have until you're... this new,
I've got
this,
one
this
more
birthday.
Year.
You're 22 now.
Yeah, I've basically got a year. I'm giving myself a year.
Okay, from now or from being 23?
It doesn't say, you know...
when at 23?
When at 23.
Could be
so
the
it could
end
be
of
December
23.
Of 23.
It could be January 30th.
Exactly. Still 23.
Before you're 24. You're going to be 23 this year.
So you might be wondering why I shared this story with you.
Yes.
Because I mean the comparison there. That I mean the what am I going to say? It's there. You see what I'm getting at. The father thing. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this before I was actually in business with my dad. Mm-hmm. Before I had any business, I was just a kid still. And so obviously that paper is not how I was raised. I am not an evil person.
No.
I did boss around the workers.
You still
though.
Boss around people.
I did get them to wipe my butt and make me sandwiches in the same motion. it's true. But I also worked a lot, and I'm obviously really proud of this paper.
Yes. You talk about it all the time.
I'm really happy.
He just found it last week.
Yeah,
I'm
really
happy.
And it's
been out for since then.
I'm so proud. I mean, she read this to every class. Mm-hmm. And pride is something that my dad has always prided himself on.
Yes.
My dad is a
very, very prideful Puerto Rican man.
He is, absolutely. Anytime you ask him a question, he always has an answer.
Another question.
Well, yeah, sometimes. But even if he doesn't know the answer, and that's how I grew up. The reason I'm always so curious and I'm so vocal about, why does this do that? And what's inside there? And you know, what's going on here? Is because my dad would always entertain any question that I had, even if the answer was pretty nonsensical. And as you shared last episode, I believe, when it might have been a conversation that we had, but when someone tells you something and you don't know otherwise, you might end up calling cows moo-moos or...
oh, kitty moo-moos.
Kitty moo-moos.
Yes, that's so a good story too.
That's how I
I was like, where are you going? Grew up.
My dad didn't always relate to me. My brother was into sports. I wasn't. I wanted to be the umpire if I was going to play sports. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be the ref. I wanted to be able to control people and kick them out of the game and
get strike out of three my or field. Out.
Exactly. But he did try his best. And that usually included buying me things like computers and video games and toys mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I appreciated that as a kid, even though I was a bit spoiled, and that changed when we moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
So then the biggest sort of phase in my young adult life was high school when we started AMP, mm-hmm. The media production company.
You were 14?
I was 14 years old. It was like the end of sophomore year, beginning of junior year, around there somewhere. My dad and I started traveling a lot together when we could, like on the weekends, spring break. Every break, I would go to Miami, to Boca.
I remember when we first met, our friend told me that you were always going to Boca.
I was. And I was meeting people. I was meeting celebrities.
Met The Rock's dad.
I met The Rock's dad. I met a football player. I went to various.
You don't know what football player.
Well, I do know his name, but I don't want to name drop him because he's not. He's a Hall of Famer football player. I'll say that much.
Okay.
But I told you I met him.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you later. Okay. It's not important.
That's why I was like, point. What?
I don't consider him.
Tell my dad that story. He'd probably like it.
A great football player. We almost. Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
we set up radio stations. I went to the DNC in Tampa.
Right.
It was just a fast, fun lifestyle. And as a kid, being with my dad, it was always something that I look forward to. It was a great distraction.
You didn't get to see him a lot.
Well, yeah, exactly. There was a good maybe three-year period where I didn't see him pretty much at all, except for maybe a dinner or a birthday here or there. I never really saw my dad. So this was kind of his way of making that up to me. Mm-hmm. It was finally we had something we could connect with and do. And he just, number one, he needed my help because he was not
everyone needs your help
tech savvy person. And here we are setting up a company where we literally broadcast and video stream and podcast and, you know, buy really expensive equipment that he doesn't necessarily know how to use. yet, until I teach him. And I didn't care about money. When you're in high school, you generally don't. Just don't. I mean, I only cared enough because I didn't have bills, right? Like, my cell phone was paid for. The only thing I had to pay for was food.
If I wanted to go out with my friends, my mom, I was lucky if my mom gave me $20. I worked all through high school, pretty much.
And that's what I did with my dad. And it wasn't a lot of money, but
it was still something.
It was something. And that actually kind of brought out some ugliness between us. We had a lot of differences in strategy and opinions, philosophy. My dad's very old school, and as I got older, I kind of wanted everything to be more fair when it came to money mm-hmm. and it came to training and, you know, not having to show someone six times on how to use something kind of thing. Because I wanted to be taken seriously. I wanted the business to be taken seriously. And we didn't always see eye to eye on that. But looking back, my dad has always done pretty much whatever he could, you know, or it was taking out a loan for me to finish college or sending me $20 to come see you because I needed gas mm-hmm. money.
Yeah.
Or you know, money for a Disney ticket, things like that. Food, groceries, whatever I needed. I was never afraid to ask him
mm-hmm.
because he would make it happen. Even if he didn't have it himself, he would pull an extra job. He would give me an extra job. He would do something to get me whatever I asked for. And I mean, he even tried to help me with girls to some extent. And you know how that goes. It's, mm-hmm. You never want your dad to be
your
giving
wingman.
Your number out and your wingman at a wing house or a ale house or whatever and slips your number to the waitress. That's it's never good. You know, but that was his way. That's how they did
when
it back
did
in the day.
Did that happen?
Doesn't matter. So
it's a different story.
Different story for a different day. He helped me get to where I am today, point being. And I think the biggest takeaway is that he didn't have to do any of it. They really don't. I mean, parents don't have any responsibility outside of making sure you're alive.
Yeah.
For you. That's the truth. And
at least till you're 18.
Well, yeah.
I had a friend that I went to high school with. The day he turned 18, he was like kicked out of his house. Stuff was on the front yard and like packed in his car.
That's the truth. I mean, that Some parents some are people like can that.
Do, yeah.
And it sucks. Luckily, my parents weren't like
not
that.
Puerto Ricans and Italians. You get to stay home forever.
No. Parents, yeah, they we all stick together like white on rice. I mean, there's no.
My mom lived with my grandma until 27 years old.
We take care of our own.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like to put our family members in homes, things mm-hmm. like that, because it's just not how things were done. But I think a lot of us sometimes grow up thinking that our parents owe us things, that the world even might owe us things, and they don't. They really don't. And I'm not a father yet.
No.
That, as far as I know.
Nope.
But
I mean, I'm late.
This just took a weird Father's Day turn.
That's what... Never mind.
Anyway, I can't imagine the struggle of trying, of being a dad and trying to give something to your kid, and you just can't. And I still think, even for those that... well, especially for those who still have their fathers, you know, if they're older, 80, 90 years old, that once we understand the sacrifice that our parents usually do for us, that we're really able to become better people and better lovers, better in everything, honestly, because you understand it's sort of a philosophy that I always call like the switch. Like a light switch in your brain. When we're young kids, as we grow up, we're kind of on autopilot. And then, you know, we hit a certain age and we wake up a certain day and the switch is toggled. And suddenly we're no longer on autopilot and we have to figure this out on ourselves. And we realize we have no idea how to drive the ship, right? And it's actually something that turtles do. When turtles are born on the beach... Their eggs, they come out, they're on autopilot, they know to look for the moon, and that's where they go. And in this case, it could be a light, it could be a car, they don't know. And then they find their way back to their parents, and it's amazing. And then once they do that, the switch turns, and suddenly they have a life, and they find a mate, and then the cycle starts all over again. Well, we're a lot like that. I mean, we go through a lot of our lives kind of in our age group, in school.
Everybody doing the same thing.
Everyone kind of gets shuffled along until finally you get dumped and you're like, what do I do now? I mean, I don't even know how to balance a checkbook. I don't know how to do my taxes. And I don't know how to shave. And I think that's where parents and dads in particular can kind of come in, at least for boys. I don't know how it is for girls. I guess it really depends.
I mean, if you're a single dad and you have to teach your daughter how to shave, you're going to do it.
Exactly. I just think that... there's a lot that we don't pay attention to growing up because we're on autopilot that we notice when we're older. Like, my dad probably still has every trophy that my brother and I have ever earned somewhere in a garage or in a plastic bin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've even seen them. They're in the garage there. There's hundreds.
Probably. I know where mine are.
Plastic trophies. Your parents.
My mom wants to get rid of them. My dad won't let my
photo
mom.
Photo books. And the dads,
my
they
dad,
love that stuff.
My dad. Will not let my mother throw any. Everything has sentimental value. Everything. He has x-rays from 20 years ago that my mom can't get him to get rid of. And I like, cool, they're x-rays, whatever. They're not relevant. Like, you've healed, obviously. You're fine now. You don't need these anymore. Can you put them somewhere else?
No. And I don't know, again, it's very... It depends on who you are as a person.
Yeah, but I think that's just my parents. I don't think all
dads
are like that.
I think in my experience, dads tend to be more appreciative of their children. They are very, very prideful on their accomplishments.
I was like, are you trying to tell me that moms don't appreciate their children?
They are, but in different ways.
Okay.
I think dads are more materialistic, whereas mothers are more... accomplished, emotional, more like, you know, oh, you got straight A's, that's great. Well, your dad's like, oh, look at this piece of paper with straight A's.
Yeah, that's true. Dads are very, like, at least dads I know are very tactile.
Yes.
Like, they need to see it in front of them exactly. To understand.
Whereas women understand concepts and emotions better. With that being said, I think it sucks that parents don't live forever. Because I think by the
You're
time...
You're going to make this podcast very sad very fast, aren't you?
I think by the time that you learn to really appreciate your parents, it is too late. They're either on their deathbed, they're gone, or you've burned a bridge and you can't really build that back sometimes. And parents don't always know what to say in those instances. They may not know what to do. They may not know when to not make inappropriate dad jokes. That might make things worse. But if your dad is anything like my dad, the way to start, and the only thing you really need to do, is tell them that you love them. That is, I mean, it's not a one, it's not a fix all, but that is the first step in really opening a conversation where you're not asking them for something, you're not demanding it, there's no strings attached. It's, Dad, I love you, let's have dinner. And you need to take them out to dinner. You need to take them to the beach. You need to do something that they like to do, whether it's golf or dance.
Let's go to the Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon. Maybe they're having another midlife crisis at age 45 or 60. I don't know. Maybe it's midlife crisis 7. But they're humans, and they have feelings too. And if you think about the sacrifice that they've made, especially if they had you when you were young, like my parents, doing something that they love and doing it regularly, not just when Father's Day comes along. I'm glad we have Father's Day, Mother's Day. I think there should be Brother's Day. There needs to be just a family day.
Because there's probably one of those too. We just don't know about it.
There's this new thing called sister moons.
Ooh, what's that?
A sister moon is, if you have a sister, there's brother moons too. Sister. You could do a sister moon. As long you're a sister to someone. So anyway, it's like a baby moon or a honeymoon or a...
Oh!
So it's you and your siblings go out.
When
and
you said moon, I literally thought of like...
No, the not, moon. Not like a blue moon.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, whoa, a honeymoon, what? Like a baby moon.
Okay.
I think we need a parent moon or a dad moon or a mom moon. Do you have any stories with your dad that you want to reminisce about?
My dad and I used to be super close. When we lived in New York, he would take me to... Were you there when he forgot? He was like, you've never been to Hofstra. I was like, Dad, are you kidding? You used to take me to Hofstra every weekend. We used to go to all the games. We would go to basketball games, softball games, football games. I have a picture of me on the field. That's where Poppy, my grandpa, went to college. How are you? Do you not remember taking me to all of these things? I have pictures from everything. He used to take me to all kinds of games. Like, just, he wouldn't even take Anthony Michaels, just me. We would go to baseball games, and then he was on a softball league. I don't remember, I must have been like 6 or 7, and he would take me every Sunday to the games to watch. And I would be so upset when I couldn't go. He would make me go to church instead of going to the softball game.
And why do you think that is, even though he had two other sons?
I was the oldest.
That was it? Just because you're
probably I was the easiest one to lug around.
Personally, I like babies who can talk and walk, which is around the 2-year-old, 3-year-old mark. Once they actually become human.
Once they start talking back and saying no, I don't like it anymore. that's when Gio likes it. Yeah.
That's like another switch. It's like until they're about 2 or 3 years old, they're just vegetables. And then they develop hands and feet and vocal cords.
They're rubber. Not vegetable, whatever. Rubber.
And suddenly they start forming opinions and become parrots.
Yeah.
And can escape. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think their creativity is at the highest. Mm-hmm. And someone who can relate on a 3-year-old level.
Also, I was really sporty. Like, you didn't want to go with your dad to those things because you weren't as into sports. But I played soccer. I played baseball for like 6 years. I got cleated in the face, and I was like, no more of this.
In the face?
Yeah, like someone stepped on my face.
What was your face doing so low to the ground?
I fell, and someone stepped on me. And I was like...
Did it hurt?
Yes, it did.
On
but
a scale
I was
of
like,
1 to 10, circle where
I came
in
out
the
of
face?
The, it was like 7. I don't know. I was fine. I went back into the game, but I was like so upset. I was like, I hate soccer. I hate running. I don't want to do this anymore. I was like 4.
Did your dad ever coach your teams?
No.
My dad, see, that was the difference too.
My dad was too busy.
My dad wasn't out on the sidelines. My dad was the coach.
My dad, as you know, liked stats.
Yeah.
He so did
he,
stats.
He'd be the guy doing all the
he
numbers.
He did stats for everybody. I mean, he liked...
Even at like even in the farm leagues at 4 years old?
Yep. He liked to take my stats. I was good. I was like a pretty, I used to do this thing. My coaches hated it. I used to do this thing where, because in T-ball you have like unlimited throws or whatever. And it's until you hit the ball. Yeah. So I would let the first like two go by. I wouldn't even move. I would just watch it. And like, because sometimes it wasn't always the coach pitching. It would be like the other team's coach. So you had to like figure out what they were doing. So I would let the first two pitches go by. And it always made them so mad because they're like, I know you can hit it. Just hit it the first time and then just go. Let another kid have their turn. And I would hit the third one every time. That was just like my, I just always did that. I don't know why. I just thought it was really cool that I was like, nah, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let them go. I'm going to hit this one now.
I was in the farm league. I was, must have been like 6 or 7 or so. And I was pitching because it was T-ball.
Yeah.
But they let the kids pitch. And this was like my first time ever pitching. Mm-hmm. And I had a mean sinker. This ball would go up from about 8 feet in the air and dive right in front of you. You wouldn't even just right there, right down to your knee.
Well, what 6-year-old can hit a ball that's 8 feet in the air?
Throw a, no, it's a sinker. It sinks down.
No, but you said it was 8 feet.
Yeah, it was like it was like a wave.
At the last minute.
At the last, yeah, just boop, right down. What 8-year-old or 6-year-old can throw a sinker?
None,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The other team got angry at me because they thought I was like some older than I was, like some 10-year-old kid playing on the team. That was the last day I ever
pitched. I am 12.
In the T-ball.
Seen that bench warmers?
Yeah. My dad was, he was always the coach. He was the coach in football, coach in baseball.
My dad didn't have time to be the coach when we lived in New York because he was a policeman.
Yeah.
I was lucky if he even got to come to my games. Sometimes he couldn't. And then I did dance and he was all, he and my grandma, or no, it was my grandma would always stand up right before my school came out or my class. And she'd be like, Sabrina! And stand up and wave her arms and try to get me to find them so I could look at them while they videoed. I think my dad made it to every recital. He didn't always make it to all my games, though.
Do you ever get in trouble as a kid a lot?
I got locked in a closet one time for being so bad.
Well, your mom did
that. I don't remember why.
But I mean, like, not by your parents, like by other teachers, other parents.
Oh, I got kicked off the bus in third grade. The kid threw my hat in the snow. He threw my New York City, my pink New York City. It had the skyline on the front. It was so cool. I loved it so much. And my dad bought it for me. He went to the city and he got it. And this kid, he was actually one of my really good friends, which is why this was such a strange occurrence, because we were like best friends. We always sat with each other. He took my hat off and he threw it in the sludge on the bus. And I was like,
and naturally you just
Anthony like hit him. I had a 4-year-olds can't really hit that well. My friend pushed Anthony like down and I was like, oh no. So then that's when I hit him and I
gave
him
the face.
I don't remember where I hit him, but I hit him hard and then he stopped. But we got in big trouble and then Anthony and I were banned from the bus for the rest of the school year. But we moved anyway, so it was okay.
I think my dad used to cover for me in elementary school. I was a bad kid. I was
you
really
tied
bad.
Up a babysitter in the back.
I wasn't even
yard.
In school yet. When I was in school, let me tell you some stuff. I'm going to tell you a story I don't think I've ever told you before.
Oh, here we go.
In, this would have been second grade, Giovanni Salvo, Gio number one here on out. Gio one and I were in the same class. I don't know if he was older than me and that's why he was Gio one. What I believe is he was the nephew of the teacher. He was the favorite.
Isn't there a rule about
rules are meant to be broken?
Okay.
So it was almost like a gang war. Giovanni had his friend Anthony and his other friend Joey.
Mm-hmm. I know classic
all,
New York
I
names.
I know all their names.
Classic
and that's
New
how
York
you know.
Names.
I'm serious. But do you know who my people were? I had this kid from Egypt named Mark who barely spoke English and every sentence kind of ended with a not even kidding. He had like this nose problem.
Who did you have? Other than him. I know, but other than him.
Other
who
than
else?
Him, I had this kid, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Another classic New York name.
He's a black kid.
Was he Joshua. Jewish? Oh, no.
He's a black kid. He was a total mama's boy, though, and couldn't fight to save his life. Joshua, if you're listening, man, you're awesome, and don't hurt me. So, and he actually lives in Florida now. He lives over in near Jupiter. Anyway, we're on the playground one day, and in New York, I actually just looked up my old elementary school. It's PS14 in New York. Well, they're expanding. There used to be a big park, and they totally destroyed the park, and they're building a whole new wing to my school. And my school was old. It had like 12-foot ceilings. It had that thick lead paint everywhere, metal and steel construction.
I went to the same elementary school that my dad did. That's scary. His picture was up on the wall.
That is really scary. Yeah,
they had all the class pictures from everybody who graduated.
Well, anyway. It was a relatively large piece of land in the city, mm-hmm. in the Bronx.
Yeah, just hard to come by.
It is. So the there's no parking, but the back playground was probably a mile long. It was like maybe a half a block. And then there was a park, there were some portables, and then there was the main building. Giovanni and I were never really good friends yet.
Yet.
I'll get to that. And one day, him and his guys, we're walking across the playground here, and I get jumped by this kid and his boys. And my dad, the week prior, had given me this gold necklace.
Oh,
with a dollar sign with little green jewels on it.
Such a tacky thing to give a second grader.
So tacky. I think I found it and I asked him if I could have it. And naturally he said, yeah, sure. I think it was, I hope it wasn't real gold because.
I hope not either. Otherwise that was a big waste.
It was heavy.
It might have been real then.
Either way, I bring this thing to school and I'm wearing it around my neck and showing it off for about a week. And then I'm walking through the playground and the gang comes by. And next thing I know, I'm on the ground and someone's hitting my butt with their hand. And I get up and the dust clears and Mark kind of picks me up. And he's like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And
your necklace is gone.
My chain is gone. They yank my chain. You know, I've never been chain yanked before, but they yank my chain.
I don't think that's what it's actually like.
What? Getting chain yanked?
Yeah.
Is that something real? Is there like something?
The way you said it, it sounds like it's something real. I don't know.
Yank chain yankers?
I don't know.
I just like saying yank.
Chain yankers from Yonkers.
From Yonkers. Yeah.
Just got to keep the rhyme going. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, long story short, I'm positive because I went to the teacher. I'm like, I'm missing my chain. I describe it. Everyone, there's a search party going out. Nobody finds it. Now, it's a big yard, but it was like a 10-foot radius of where it would have been. Mm-hmm. Didn't go far.
Right.
So I knew someone took it. I'm pretty sure it was him. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days go by. I think it's like a Friday. And we're on the playground again after lunch. And I see Giovanni at the far end of the playground. I'm at one end. He's at the other. And we had this deflated dodgeball on the top of his head.
Okay.
And I didn't have my boys with me. But one of the things I used to do was I used to race kids back and forth. I was a sprinter. I was fast. Mm-hmm. So I see him, you know, quarter mile away with this ball on his head. And instinctively, I stick my arm out, my right arm to the right side of me, like an L, just straight out. And I make a fist and I run as hard as I can with my hand
out like that,
out like this, all the way out. And I'm running, and my plan is to hit the ball off of his head. I hit this kid so hard.
I knew it.
The ball stayed in place, and he flew. And his shoes flew off.
Flew.
He flew. The New York is coming back.
Yes.
Needless to say, I got in trouble.
Yeah, I bet.
I punched that kid in the face.
Yeah, you hard. Did.
But he yanked my chain. It was worth it.
Did he actually, though?
Did he actually yank my chain? I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
You still don't know?
I believe he did. He didn't bring it to school, obviously, because that would be stupid. Mm-hmm. So after this situation where I punch him in the face, my gang, my boys, mm-hmm. don't want to hang with me anymore because they don't want to get in trouble. And now I'm like a bad boy. Now I'm a criminal. So, and I didn't really get in trouble. Playground monitor lady really liked me. I was one of her favorites. Uh-huh. So I didn't get written up.
Such a bad kid.
Yeah. I didn't get written up. My brother had previously gone to that school, so everyone knew me and everyone loved him. I was living in my brother's shadow, blah, blah, blah. So nothing really came of that event, except him and I kind of became friends through that. That's a weird
thing. Best way to become friends with someone is just to punch them square in the face.
Out of them. Yeah. Across the playground.
All of my best friends that I have now, I hated at some point. You beat all of them up? I hated them when I first met them.
But did you punch any of them in the face?
No, but I hated them with a passion when I met them.
So anyway, so we become friends. So because nothing came of it, and because I still didn't have my chain, I put together a plan for revenge.
After you became friends?
Yeah.
You already hit him.
We weren't really friends.
But what more revenge did you need? You already hit him in the face.
Because I didn't get my chain back.
But you hit him already.
But I knew he took it. And now he was being nice to me, and I hated him for it. Okay. So.
He's so hard to please.
I really am. So here's what happened. So we're friends, and a couple months go by, and I'm still thinking of how to get back at him, because obviously I can't just punch him in the face again. No. That's not going to fly. Like I can't get
it. Not like last time.
No. So my option is to embarrass him or get him in trouble by setting him up. And I did the setting him up part a couple times.
Second grade mastermind.
Really? No. So there was a thing at lunch where you had to be absolutely quiet. There was no talking during cleanup.
Oh. I was like, you couldn't talk during lunch?
No, it was just during cleanup. We could be as loud as we wanted normally. Including in the bathrooms, though, which in my school, there was just a big open door. Mm-hmm. There was no door on it for the main bathroom door. There were stalls and everything. But oh, okay. The main
doors, I was like, what?
There was no door.
Got you.
So I was in the bathroom and Giovanni happened to walk in. And I heard the quiet signal and everyone gets quiet. So I start making as much noise as I possibly can. I'm screaming. I don't know what I was saying. But Giovanni goes into the stall. I come out and I go, Gio1 is screaming in the bathroom. I don't know what's going on. I get him in so much trouble because the lunch lady was a very angry woman. I have never met a woman so angry before at children. Only children.
Who works at a school.
Who works at a
Other
school.
Other than Trunchbull from Matilda.
She was basically her.
Oh.
Except skinny.
Oh.
And louder. So that didn't work because that's when I learned he was the teacher's nephew, and he was untouchable. So that left me to revenge by embarrassing him. I came up with a plan. I don't know if you've seen this, but certain young kids, not me, okay, I have to preface this by saying not me, my old boys, who were no longer my boys, had a thing where they like to show each other their peepers.
Oh my god!
And I don't know, but under the lunch table. And I don't know why. I didn't want to look. I didn't want to see their peepers. I really didn't. I never showed my peeper. My friend got in big trouble for showing his peeper. I didn't want to do that.
I remember your dad talking about you getting in trouble.
They got me in trouble because they thought I showed my peeper.
Is this that same story?
This is that same event.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I never showed my peeper, and my dad proved that I never showed my peeper by asking... And don't tell the answer whether or not I'm circumcised. And that ended that. Mm-hmm. Dads are great. So so I get this idea, right, that where you line up to get the milks and to get lunch is basically in the view of everybody. Mm-hmm. So I have this idea that I was going to pants the pants off of them. Everything. Straight down. Got him and I in the back of the line by slowing him down. And when the moment was right, when there were no teachers looking, I pulled his pants down. Mm-hmm. Pants and underwear, everything. Straight down to his ankles.
So mean.
And then I stepped on them.
So he fell.
So when he
over.
Went to pick them up, he couldn't. He didn't fall. He almost fell. But he couldn't pick them
Gio,
up.
Gio, you're mean. I don't like you anymore.
I was a mean kid.
I don't like you anymore. I was an angel at school.
I didn't get in trouble for that. That was
Did
that.
Did he get in trouble for being pants?
No.
Okay,
just good. Got embarrassed.
Okay.
A bunch of girls saw his peeper.
Tiny second grade peeper.
Yeah, it was small.
I was an angel at school. No. My mom would get notes of how good I was. Sure. I was like, if I just do what I'm supposed to do, I won't have any problem.
I'm pretty sure my dad covered for me a lot of times when I actually did get in trouble. Like,
probably.
There was one assembly. I blatantly and purposefully flipped off a teacher. Just straight up, I stood up, threw my finger in the air, and just held it there. And I don't know why. I just felt like it. That was in first grade when I did that. And
oh my God.
My first grade teacher absolutely loved me. She had my brother, absolute favorite in the classroom. Her name was Miss Dear Goddess. I'm going to say her name. I'm pretty sure she's probably dead by now. So she was pretty old. As we're coming up the stairs after this assembly where she basically gave me an earful the whole way, we get to the stairs. I'm in the front with her and she looks at me and she goes, you know, I would have done that too. And she didn't call my dad. I didn't get in trouble. But I'm pretty sure the times I did get in trouble,
your dad
covered. My dad just didn't tell my mom.
Had an excuse for everything.
Maybe he didn't answer the phone. Maybe he just figured that's just the way I was. I don't know. But I had a lot of fun in elementary school. I got away with a lot of stuff.
I bit that girl on the forehead. That's, I think, the worst thing I've ever done. But that was more of a mom thing.
I threatened a kid over a video game.
I believe it.
He gave me a video game that was scratched. He said it was working. We traded for something. And it was... So I pushed him up against a closet, kicked him in the knee. I wasn't
I'm
even
married
like
to a mobster.
I wasn't even like a big kid either. I, you know, I was like 90
see,
pounds.
Look at what you are now. I can't imagine you doing this even smaller.
I had an older brother. We would wrestle. You know, I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto.
I used to trip Michael on purpose so that I could carry him around.
My brother used to do that to me, except he would hurt me for no reason.
So not the same thing at all. No, I would purposely trip Michael and then catch him. Like I wouldn't let him get hurt, but I just wanted to hold him all the time and he wouldn't let me. So if I tripped him, he got scared and I got to pick him up. So it was win-win. He didn't have to walk anymore and I got to carry him around.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was bad.
No.
No. In high school, I wanted to stay. I had learned. I had impulse control. I tried to fly completely under the radar. I had all the administration because I worked at my high school. I knew everyone. I actually could
you
probably get away.
System.
Yeah, I could probably get away with a lot more than most kids because I worked there. They all assumed that I was like a good kid. And I was. I was pretty good. I knew a lot of the blind spots in the cameras, but that was about it.
I don't think I never like got in trouble, but I used to do a lot of crap I wasn't supposed to. I would leave campus all the time to go get food.
Oh, yeah, a lot of kids. Because
my
that.
Fifth period was a.
So you had the study.
So I had like study halls, yeah. But I didn't have to go to the classroom. I could do something else. So instead, I had lunch and then I had that class. Go to my car. I would go get Subway and I would come back.
No, I really want Subway. Not a sponsor.
No, I wish.
Although Subway, if you want to sponsor me, hey. I'm really skinny, so you just give me a big pair of pants. No, you give me a big pair of pants.
Oh, and he'd say he lost weight.
I lost weight on the Subway diet, man. Eat fresh. So anyway, getting back to Father's Day. This Father's Day, as you can tell, we've got some great stories about our parents and when we were young in general. But this Father's Day, if you haven't already bought a card, made a reservation, I don't know, bought your dad a beer, whatever he likes... Make sure you do it. Whatever you can do is the point. Do it. Even if you're not sure if they're going to like it. Even if
they might give you your gift back to hang up in your own house because they didn't like it and you spent a lot of money on it.
Hey, that sounds
That's really, for you, Mom.
That sounds really similar to a certain situation. Make sure you do something this Father's Day because they're not always going to be around. And I say this as someone who now works... in a mental disease research center who sees patients all the time. Just make sure that you get everything out that you need to if you have unresolved problems or you just enjoy their company and you learn from them. Make sure you do something for them before it's too late. I see people every day who don't even know the people that they come to see at the doctor's office. They don't even know their wife who brings them in. They forget why they're even there. They forget their favorite food. Or I see people who apparently are like 20 years younger mentally, and they think that they're still in the Navy, or they think that they just had a first daughter, or they don't even know their first daughter. I see people who have traumatic brain injuries from car accidents, from football, from falls. There is so much stuff that we are not trained to handle, that we don't even know about, that we should be afraid of, that is preventable. And it's a part of life. There's nothing to stop you from losing your memory, from getting in a car accident, from your parents doing the same thing. So you just have to learn to appreciate them while you have them. Well, that's it for this episode of Santori Stories. But make sure you take care of your father this Father's Day. And remember, it's Sunday, June 17th. Until next time, I'm Bob Saget.
I'm Sabrina Santori.
And we are the Santoris.